Hi, my name is Leah Tatina, and welcome to the Made Matchless podcast. As you know, we live in a very challenging and confusing culture. I particularly see the implications of this in girls and women's lives, even within the family of God. And the purpose of Made Matchless is to help girls and women thrive in our culture and embrace who God made them to be so that they can make a supernatural impact just as God made them. Now, part of what I do is to create helpful resources for girls and women as they seek to grow and mature in their faith. And I also do speaking events as well as mother-daughter events. The mother-daughter event I lead is called the Made Matchless Experience and is an interactive event where moms and daughters can learn together and grow together and get creative together and have fun together, but all for God's glory. It's a super important event where we talk about who God's word says we are. So if you're at all interested in having your church host this, make sure you reach out to me at madematchless@gmail.com. So this month's topic, is something I'm very, very excited to share with you. But before I introduce it, I just want to make sure you know a bit about me. My daughter is 11 and my son is 9, and my husband and I have been married for almost 15 years. Everything I talk about on my podcasts, in my blog articles, in my devos, in my resources are simply a result of God doing work in me first. I don't share anything He isn't already working out in me or already has worked out in me or has just freshly brought to my attention. So in this podcast, I'll sometimes just be sharing what God's been teaching me that I believe could be helpful to all of you. Other times, I'll have a guest on with me who can share her experiences and biblical, practical perspective. Either way, I hope you'll listen in as well as subscribe to my podcast at madematchless.com/podcast. With that little intro out of the way, let's get right to our topic for this month. 7 steps to decluttering the heart for the new year. So I don't know if you've seen this. I've seen a lot of sharing on Facebook about this, but there's a new show that's become super popular in recent weeks. And it's all about decluttering, simplifying, and really just looking at your stuff in a new way. I don't know if you've seen it or seen the show even. The method helps us feel better about our spaces and leaving more room to breathe, really, and to live. And you know what? Really, the timing of the launch of this show couldn't be better, right? Totally planned, because what do all of us moms want to do right after the new year? Make some changes, right? Turn over a new leaf, try something different, and hopefully stick with it. And for some of us, we have new things coming into the house because of Christmas. And so we find ourselves not only struggling to recover from the Christmas season, but now we have new stuff to figure out what to put where and how is it going to get organized in our home, all those kinds of things. And it can feel pretty overwhelming. So enter this show, right, that teaches you how to declutter and to minimize and to really truly figure out what matters in your home and what doesn't, what you've been holding on to for too long, and how to manage what you do have. And boom, it's like the solution, right? But the thing is, the solution doesn't last if you don't stick with it. It's like any new way of thinking. And of course, it doesn't happen overnight. You need to take intentional steps to declutter your home so you can feel, you know, more calm and collected and focused on what really matters. And we all want that, right? We all do. Okay. So we are talking about clutter in the home, right? We all have clutter to some varying degrees, but what about inner clutter? Friend, you may adopt this system for your home, and your counters may be clutter-free, but are you aware that there's a different kind of clutter? Did you know that we can have spiritual clutter too? Clutter of the heart? Clutter of the heart is what keeps your spirit crowded, so crowded that thriving through God's promises and having a heart focused on the gospel becomes difficult. Just like it becomes difficult to thrive and be focused in a cluttered home. Now, today we're going to discover 7 steps to decluttering your heart so that you can thrive and be focused and know what's most important in 2019. And something you'll be able to talk about with your daughter or any special girls in your life as well. Because heart clutter isn't only a problem for women. Girls can struggle with it too. Men can struggle with it. Boys, I mean, we're all human, right? We all are going to be struggling with heart clutter. But how do you know if your heart is cluttered, leaving only a little bit of room for God to work and for you to focus and spiritually thrive? How do you know that your heart's cluttered? Before we look at the 7 steps to decluttering your heart, let's look at some of the symptoms of a cluttered heart. And these are ones that I've personally written down and heard from other women as well. And actually, I'll have these as a download for my podcast subscribers along with the 7 steps. So just so you know, this is not an extensive list. It's not. It's just ones that other people have told me about that I've personally struggled with, that God has kind of shared with my heart. But anyways, you get the point. It's not an extensive list. You might be adding to it depending on what your clutter looks like. So there are 7 ways that your heart can be cluttered. So we're going to have 7 steps to declutter it, but there are 7 ways that your heart can be cluttered. So as I said, the heart clutter really doesn't leave room for the gospel, so you're really going to want to pay attention. So heart clutter number 1. You use all of your energy and thoughts trying to make life carefree and comfortable for you and your family. Now, that doesn't sound like a bad thing, right? But it actually can be heart clutter. In other words, you avoid conflict at all costs. You avoid hardship at all costs. You surround yourself with comforts and foods and experiences. You want the good life in the here and the now. And when life gets hard, because it does, right? Instead of turning to Christ and resting in Him and trusting in Him, you turn to worldly comforts and worldly solutions and filling your heart with those things. And what you may be finding, if this is your heart clutter, is that those worldly comforts and solutions, like more stuff, more activities, more distractions, more experiences, they really leave little room for a dependency on Christ, for Christ to be sufficient for you. They only leave a little room, if any room, for the beauty of the gospel and for satisfaction and rest in Jesus alone. If you're a Christian, you might even find yourself thinking things like, Jesus plus, you know, this thing will make me content. I mean, we probably don't overtly even think that, but do our actions reflect that? Well, if I just have Jesus plus this thing, I'll be content. Friend, Jesus brings satisfaction and contentment. He does. Not the other heart clutter. But Leah, what about John 10? 10. Okay, well, John 10, 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. But Jesus isn't talking about an abundant life of stuff and comfort to distract you from Him. Jesus doesn't need your stuff. An abundant life has Jesus at the center, no matter what a person has. Don't clutter your heart, making your families and your comfort matter more than it does. So that's heart clutter number 1. Using all your energy trying to make life carefree for you and for your family through stuff, through experiences, all that kind of stuff. Okay, moving on. Heart clutter number 2. You spend all of your thoughts on God as it relates to you and your needs. So whenever you pray, let me explain this. So whenever you pray or ask for prayer or turn to God or open your Bible, it's about what you need. Now, do we come to God in need? Yeah, of course. We come to God in need. We are in desperate need of Him. But the clutter I'm talking about is this. Your spiritual life is all about you and not God. Your heart is so full of you. You are your own heart clutter. You attend church for you, for your needs. You go to Bible study for your needs. This crowds out the gospel because although, yes, we need Jesus for our salvation and we need Christ's death and resurrection so we can be saved, we don't stop at being saved. If your heart is too cluttered with you, how can you effectively serve others, turn out towards others, and be Jesus' hands and feet to them? After we're saved, the rest of a gospel-centered Christian life should be a life of turning back to God and saying, "Thank you for saving me. Now what can I do for you, God? Do what you want with me. Help me love others like you do. Open my eyes and show me." Like I said, we will have seasons and times where we desperately need him. I mean, we do desperately need him. Don't get me wrong. But there are times and seasons where we become even more dependent on him and we're just reaching out and saying, you know, crying out like, "God, do something." But if it's all about us, how can we see others? How can we serve others? Too many Christians want God to do what they want, regardless of what his word says. They want God to be their life fixer without even asking how they can serve him. Friends, that leaves no room for the gospel to do its work through your life. Definitely heart clutter. You can be your own heart clutter. Okay, you ready for heart clutter number 3? You fill your time with the cares of the world and not matters of God. So the cares of the world could be any number of things, you know, that not only distract you from God and the gospel, but also tempt you to not trust him. Now, I'm not saying don't keep up with politics or the latest news, but if you find your mind swirling with what's going on in the world and what politician did what and what the latest DC scandal is and on, friend, a lot of that will for sure clutter your heart, leaving less energy and attention for the matters of God and what his word says for you. Jesus said in John 16:33, he says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus is telling us, hey, do you think I don't know about these things? I do. Stop being surprised by it. You will have trouble. But then what does he call believers to have that the world doesn't have? Peace. Everyone talks about world peace, world peace, world peace. The world is not going towards peace. It is not. Peace comes with trusting Jesus, with it all. It's supernatural. But there's no room for the peace Christ offers in a heart cluttered with the world's worries. Worry is the opposite of peace. So that's heart clutter number 3. Here's heart clutter number 4. Having a God of your own design and making. Today, we can customize almost anything we like, right? Customize your home, customize your furniture, customize your meals, and have them delivered to your home just the way that you like them. Customize your coffee. I mean, you can customize pretty much anything. And what do we do when we try to customize God is this. We take bits of things we like about God and leave other parts out. And before we know it, we have a personalized coffee shop style God of our own making. And we think we like it. You know, it meets our sensibilities, our preferences, our political affiliations, our lifestyle, and really it fits our sin. Noticing I'm saying it because your God is no longer God anymore. It is a God of your own creation. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:24 that God is a jealous God. In other words, he doesn't want to share you with a false God of your own making. Do you understand that? If you are adding things or subtracting things from God, you are creating a God of your own making. He's not willing to share you with your own God. Any God that you can manufacture to fit what you like it to be is no longer the God of the Bible and no longer the God that brings salvation through Jesus Christ. Gods of our own design leave no room for the gospel. They're for sure heart clutter. And in a bit, we'll talk about the 7 steps you need to take to declutter it. All right, you ready for heart clutter number 5? Here we go. Fulfilling our goals and dreams no matter what. Please don't misunderstand me on this one. Having goals and dreams isn't a bad thing. And I actually have a resource that I'm going to mention later about setting God-glorifying goals. So I'm not saying goals and dreams are a bad thing necessarily. It's not bad to want to accomplish things and work hard for things. But where it gets to be clutter, okay, is when we are so entirely filled with our own vision for our own destiny that there is no room for the work God wants to accomplish through you. Everything becomes about what you want to accomplish, and you'll do anything to have control over that and to see that happen. Now, the reasons behind that could be any number of reasons, but only you know. But this, you know, many times happens at the expense of your relationships with others, and your relationship with God. A heart full of your own dreams and goals can become a heart that views others as either pathways or obstacles to your goals and dreams. Either way, that sounds pretty narcissistic, am I right? People either become pathways to your dreams, so your relationships are built on getting what you want, or they become obstacles to your dreams, and so people become an inconvenience for you and a hindrance. It's a life all about self. And one of the really sad things about this heart clutter is that at the end of that dream and goal, women don't find what they're looking for. It's sad. And even sadder is that they got there at a great cost to those they love and their relationship with God. So not only are they somewhere that they don't want to be, but nobody's there with them. They're there alone, or they're with relationships that are hanging on by a thread or an illusion. Heart clutter like this ends in regrets, for sure. It also leaves out the gospel, right? Because it leaves absolutely no room for God to do what he wants to do. Because with this clutter, again, it's all about us. But a life of a believer is a life about God. It's not about us. Nowhere in the Bible does God say we deserve to get everything we want. It doesn't say, follow your dreams, right? Which is something that we tell girls sometimes, which I'm just like, cut that out. Stop telling them that. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, not follow your dreams. Plus, do you know that Ephesians 3:20-21 says that God is able to do far more abundantly than you ask or think? Has it occurred to you that your goals and dreams are actually less than what God wants to do? A life cluttered has no room for what God wants to do through it. It trusts itself more than God. The woman trusts herself more than God. So that heart clutter needs to go. So speaking of regrets, here's heart clutter number 6. Filling your heart with the past more than on Christ and what he wants to do with you today. Many people live with the fallout of past mistakes, and that's just a reality, isn't it? It's sad. I know. Our choices here, they have consequences, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Sometimes their consequences we're currently living out from current choices, like how we parent, how we deal with other people, the relationships that we have, the choices we've made. Some of them are consequences of things we did long ago before we even came to Christ. Some of them are consequences of deliberately choosing your way over God's. And you're seeing it play out, but you're making excuses rather than making changes. You're blaming it on the past rather than taking ownership and looking to Christ and moving forward. Now, your heart clutter in this case may look like the good old days, you know, always looking back and holding on to the memories of when God really was moving or life was good. Sometimes this heart clutter is placing your affections on man-made traditions and what your church has always done and almost making your church and tradition idols. Now, what can God do with a heart that is so wrapped in traditions that there's no room for him to do something new? What can God do with a heart that looks to the good old days as if he's no longer capable of doing the impossible or doing even more? What can God do when our hearts are so full of regret or excuses that there's no room for hope and change? God wants to do a new thing. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Regrets will keep you from thriving, my friend. Excuses will keep you from thriving. It's time to bag up that heart clutter and put it out at the curb today. All right, finally, there's heart clutter number 7, fear. Fear of what others think, fear of failure, fear of intimacy, fear of losing control, fear of the future. I mean, you name it, a zillion different fears that we can have out there. And really, the clutter part isn't just the fear, but our thoughts and choices in response to that fear. Am I right? Fear can control everything you think, everything you do, how you parent your daughter or your son, how you treat your spouse or your friend or your neighbor, your emotions. I mean, personally, I tend to accumulate that heart clutter when I'm feeling out of control at home. And that can manifest itself in anger, wrong attitudes, and assumptions, and stress. And each and every one of those things takes up room in my heart where trust and peace and assurance should be. A heart that's full of fear is not full of peace. It's not full of trust. The gospel is the opposite of fear. A relationship with God means heart rest, assurance, a peace that God is aware and in control, in spite of the evidence that's in front of us. God says a lot about fear in the Bible. Over and over again, he says, do not fear, stop fearing. The opposite of fear is trust, and he has a lot to say about that too. Are you fearing something today? Are you? Are you choosing fear over trust in God? When fear clutters the heart, it leaves no room for the gospel. That fear needs to be swept off the counter of your heart and into the trash in like one foul swoop. Are you willing to do that today? I hope you're willing to do that today. Today can be the day to get rid of that fear and that clutter. Okay, so we've gone through the 7 heart clutters. Here's the list of what we just shared. 1, seeking worldly comforts and satisfaction. 2, heart clutter, making it all about you and your needs. 3, the cares of the world. 4, creating a God of your own design. 5, your own dreams and your own goals devoid of God. 6, regrets and holding on to everything from the past. And 7, fear and our responses to it. Again, not an exclusive list, but I've personally dealt with this clutter. My daughter has, and so have women I've talked to. And sadly, many women are inadvertently teaching their daughters to do the same. Which one did you identify with? With the new year here, we're all ready to declutter our homes, so let's declutter our hearts. Just like anything that really matters, though, it takes intentionality, right? But just like with decluttering your home, this won't all be fixed overnight. Decluttering and going in a new direction is a series of choices done over and over again, right? These steps are no different. You ready for the steps, the 7 steps to declutter your heart? Here they are. I'll be sharing these on a printable for my podcast subscribers. So if you're subscribed, good for you. If you're interested in subscribing, just go to madematchless.com/podcast and that will be available to you. Okay, ready? Here we go. First step to decluttering the heart, identify the clutter and confess it. This step has to happen first. It has to. I don't know about you, but if the clutter is around long enough, I just stop seeing it. It's like it doesn't exist. Even though it does, and it's bogging down my life and keeping me from thriving in my own home. So step 1, identify what is cluttering your heart. Of the 7 I listed, is there one that clutters your heart? Maybe a few? On the printable, write down your top 3 in order. Because identifying it and naming it is important. Get specific. Now, in my home, paper tends to be the clutter. In my heart, fear tends to be the clutter. If you're not sure, ask God. Trust me. Trust me. If you're honestly wanting to know and you ask God to show you, He will. But you have to take the time to ask and to be open to whatever He shows you. That's the hard part, right? Now, have you ever seen one of those shows where people claim that they need help with hoarding? Right, those hoarding shows. Yet when someone comes and actually identifies the problem, the hoarder denies it and gets defensive. Please don't be like that, my friend. Don't be like that. Because we're only at step 1. You don't want to go into denial in step 1, okay? So don't be like that. Receive what God wants to work on in you when it comes to heart clutter, and then confess it. Confessing it is pretty much just telling God, hey God, I agree with you. Psalm 32:5 says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. If you're a believer, you don't need that clutter. So step 1, identify the clutter and confess it. All right, steps 2 and 3 are interchangeable. Identify the thinking, and identify the patterns that lead to heart clutter. Now, it may happen that you identify the pattern of the heart clutter in your life, and that helps you realize the wrong thinking. or it may happen that you identify your wrong thoughts, which leads to seeing the pattern of heart clutter you've established. So I'll talk about them both together. We have a big buffet in our dining room, and that actually tends to be a clutter dumping ground. Paper, kids' knickknacks, and really anything that we don't know what to do with in the moment can find its spot, its little home there. Do you have a spot like that on your counter? Or maybe you have a drawer where you just kind of dump everything? Really, any vertical surface in your home can be an easy clutter spot, right? It's like begging for something to be put on it. Look how nice and clean I am. And look, you can just set it down and not worry about it, not think about where it goes, right? Does that sound familiar? Don't leave me here. Tell me it sounds familiar. It's like it didn't get that way because it's just some vertical surface. It got that way from a series of thoughts and patterns or habits, if you will, that my family follows. So if we continually think of the buffet as a dumping ground, that's what it's going to be. If we continually think it doesn't matter that the clutter is there, it'll stay cluttered. But if we keep the pattern of thinking and putting things there, the clutter accumulates more and more. Likewise, there are patterns and thoughts that contribute to heart clutter. It takes intentionality, right, to change the pattern and to change the thoughts to declutter the heart. So let me ask you, what patterns in your life keep your heart cluttered? If your clutter is your goals and dreams, no matter the cost, is your pattern that you yell at your kids whenever they interrupt your work? Do you treat them as if they are interruptions and inconveniences to your dreams? If your heart clutter is fear, fear is based a lot on your thoughts. Are your thoughts swirling with what ifs? Do you spend a lot of time and energy speculating on what could happen and the various scenarios that could play out if your fear comes to fruition? See, completing step one of identifying the clutter isn't enough. You need to identify what patterns and thoughts contribute to the clutter. What pattern is contributing to your heart's clutter? What thoughts make your heart cluttered? Identify at least one of those, and that will help you identify the other. So an example from my life literally has to do with home clutter and heart clutter. It can be easy for me to stop seeing the clutter. I said that already. I'm a homeschool mom, and we live at our homes in more hours of the day than a typical family, since many parents go off to work and their kids are off to school. So their homes are empty for most of the waking hours of the day. But for us, the kids are learning here, playing here, having friends over, eating 8 square meals a day here. It feels like that sometimes, right? So it's easy to eventually not see the clutter and to not see the mess and to not see the stuff on the stairs and to, like I said, the buffet and all that stuff. But friends, when my heart clutter is fear of losing control, when I feel like I'm losing control of things, it doesn't even have to be the house, just things in general, the first thing I see is indeed the clutter. And I go into either ultra cleaning mode, expecting others to be willing and ready to clean too. And when they're not willing, I can get snippy and annoyed and frazzled. And those are kind words I'm using for myself. Now, if I'm not being super insightful, which in the moment can be really hard to do, I know that, what I'll do is I'll just rant and rave and get all frustrated. But if I stop and identify what the real issue is, which is step one, identifying that heart clutter, what thoughts I'm entertaining, and that this is a pattern of mine, steps 2 and 3, it's a lot easier for me to make sure I do step 4. Which we're going to talk about in a second. But just real quick, I'd love to hear from you. If this podcast has been helpful to you, drop me a quick email at mademachlist@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on my website under the podcast link. I would love to hear from you. Okay, on to step 4. Resist excuses. Now, in my case, if I've already identified the heart clutter of fear, and I've seen that my thoughts are focused on that, and that my pattern is typically to freak out, and that's what I'm doing, and then I acknowledge it, guess what? It'll be tempting to come up with excuses, right? Because that's what sinners are good at, excuses. Well, if they just help, we wouldn't have this problem. Excuse. Well, And, you know, all really juicy excuses come with a self-righteous well in front of them, don't they? Well, if my husband would just be more loving, excuse. Well, if my daughter weren't so, excuse. Well, if the world wasn't so messed up, excuse. Well, if they just do it my way, we wouldn't be in this, excuse. Okay, your heart clutter is not someone else's responsibility. Step four is to resist excuses and take ownership. Now, remember the hoarder we talked about earlier, right? There's always an excuse to hold on to that one thing because I might need it someday. You know how they say that, right? Excuses keep us from taking ownership over our own heart clutter. Nobody can keep you from decluttering your own heart. Nobody's action or inaction can do that. Jesus Christ offers you freedom from the heart clutter. He longs to take that from you. It keeps you from experiencing the joy and the freedom and the life that he offers. But that requires abandoning all the excuses for why the clutter's there or why you can't get rid of it. Maybe you struggle with letting things go. I can identify with that. For a long time, I knew God was moving in my heart. I knew he was challenging me to give my whole life to him. But I was scared. It was my fear of losing control. Just like I talked about earlier, I was scared about what he'd do, how he'd change things, how life would be different. And I had a lot of excuses why I shouldn't give it all to him. But he persisted. Thank God that he persists, right? I knew he was calling me to step out in faith, even if I didn't know what he'd do. No excuses. No, I'll do this if you do that, God, kind of stuff we try and pull, right? Just a simple call to follow and give it all. And so I did. And it has not been easy, but it's been beautiful, challenging and stretching and mind-blowing and amazing all in one. But if I'd held onto my heart clutter of fear and my excuses, I would have never experienced that. If you're at that point in your life where you know God's calling you to declutter your heart, friend, you're at a pivotal moment. I know it can be scary, but it's time. Drop the excuses and come to him and ask him to show you it all and to help you. And that's the fifth step. Pray. Pray, my friend. Excuses are gone. It's just you and God. And as we said earlier, he wants to do abundantly more than all that you ask or think. He wants to equip you to declutter your heart. You can't do it alone. Many have tried to declutter their hearts, only to find nothing there to fill it. Christ alone can fill your heart. There's no point in decluttering a heart and then leaving it void. Replace the clutter with trust in him, believing he will deal with whatever happens when you do. He is trustworthy. Now, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, I just am encouraging you. I'm asking you, do it today. It's so simple. Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What that's saying is if you confess that he is the Lord of your life and then believe in your heart for the salvation of your soul on him alone, then you will be saved. Christ is ready to be all you need. And friend, if it was as easy as just removing the heart clutter, this podcast today would be no better than some self-help book. But Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friend, Jesus is the only true way. Any other way that the world claims only adds to the senseless, confusing, consuming clutter in your heart. So trust him today. Pray to him today. This step is crucial. You ready for step six to decluttering your heart? I am. Here's step six. Establish new patterns and thoughts. Now, I've recently began a new pattern of not leaving things on our stairs. Okay? But it's hard beginning a new pattern, right? Especially when you've been doing it for so long. You've done it so long that it just feels like it's a part of you, or, you know, that it's never going to be something that can change. But it can change. It's just hard. It's hard at the beginning to do a new pattern. When it comes to heart clutter, what new pattern or new thoughts do you need to establish? If your heart clutter is trying to satisfy your life with the things of the world, What do you need to do in the moment of temptation? Maybe not buy those shoes online? Not have that glass of wine? Maybe not turn to social media and scroll for an hour? And then ask yourself, well, what do I need to do instead? My suggestion, ask for prayer. Pray for yourself and ask for prayer. Text someone, tell them what you're tempted to do and ask for prayer. Or open your Bible and read the Psalms. That's also a good suggestion. Now, what if your heart clutter has to do with creating a God of your own design? In other words, your thought pattern is, well, I know God's word says this, and I know my friend who's a solid Christian says God is like this, but I'd rather he be more like this. Well, friend, that's bad news. That's going to be a matter of identifying those thoughts when they happen, and then going to the Bible and seeing for yourself who God is. He wants you to know him. Invest the time to do it. I promise you it's worth it to know God, to know his character, to know he's trustworthy, to know that he loves you, to know that he's faithful. You can't get to know him, though, if you don't open up his word to find out who he is. If all you do is trust what the culture says, you're not going to know him. The culture doesn't know who God is. God tells you who he is in his word. Go to his word. He'll show you. Or if your pattern is that you attend a church that softens scripture to make God, you know, who he absolutely isn't and who is more of a social construct of today's culture, then change that pattern. And changing that pattern is actually pretty straightforward. Leave that church. Find a church that teaches the Bible, who teaches God as God says he is. Because if that's the case, you're going to a church that is cluttering your heart in the fourth way that we said, getting, you know, the bits and pieces of God that you like and putting it together as a God of your own construction. Your church is nurturing that in you, and that is heart clutter. A church should not be adding to your heart clutter. It should be giving you the truth of who God is. All right? Find a church that teaches the Bible, who teaches God as God says he is, who loves others. Friends, this step is so, so important. If you know change needs to happen, you can't stop at prayer and just kind of hope for the best. You need to seek out new patterns and establish new thoughts. Let's be intentional with that. God will do the rest, okay? Now, just as a side note, if you're looking to make a change and you're wanting to take, you know, action steps to do it in a way that honors God, I actually have a resource for you. It's my fourth Made Matchless Planner and Prayer Journal for Women, and it's on glorifying God in all you do. It was a project that my friend Amy Silvestri and I did together. It's a 3-month planner prayer journal that will help you maintain or establish a healthy, thriving prayer life while helping you set goals that will honor God as you look to declutter your heart and begin some new patterns and thoughts. And it's gorgeous too. It is gorgeous, a resource. You can get it for $20 on my website at madematchless.com/shop, or you can actually get the 1-year bundle of 4 planner prayer journals, each with a different theme, for $65. I mean, that's a $15 savings. That's like getting the fourth one for $5. So check that out. I think it could really help you with what we're talking about today. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast for the free printables that I've been kind of talking about in this podcast. And you can do that at madematchless.com/podcast. Well, we're finally at step 7, and here it is. You know what step 7 is? It's simple. Repeat. Repeat. Yes, that's right. Just repeat. Why repeat? Because if we're real honest, we know heart clutter tends to come back. My daughter is so sweet and funny, and she's creative. And you know the creative types, myself included, we're not the tidiest of people. We're just not. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. We're just not the tidiest of people. And my sweet daughter, the last time we did a big clean in her room, she says, I should just keep it clean like this all the time. And so we talked about how keeping things clean requires tidying as you go. You know, not letting things build up. That way you don't have a giant mess to clean. Just lots of little cleans. So we talk about doing a big clean versus doing lots of little cleans. But sure enough, you know, she's the creative type and she let it go and the clutter came back. So repeat just means this. You're probably going to have to repeat any number of these steps again, and that's okay, all right? You might have a new heart clutter, and you have to do a big clean, starting back at step 1 again. Or maybe it'll be more like the little cleans of tidying up, where you just have to go back to 1 or 2 steps to get rid of what's beginning to accumulate again. Now, on the printable for subscribers, I ask you to list your top three, your top three heart clutters. Friend, don't go after all of them at once. Have you ever tried to clean your whole house all at the same time? I have. It's ridiculous. It's like a comedy routine, watching me clean. You spend 2 hours cleaning five rooms, and after 2 hours, none of the rooms are completely clean. And you're like, what did I do this whole time? So look at your list and choose one, okay? It's like choosing one surface to devote to decluttering or one room to clean, okay? Deal with it, pray over it, go through the steps. And once you feel God telling you to tackle the next one, go through the steps again, all right? This isn't about getting to that perfect place in our hearts. There will always be clutter and we'll always be repeating somewhere while we're here on earth, right? We just are, but you're on the right track. All right. And if you're a believer, isn't it such a comfort to know you have Christ and his grace to cover it all? I know I am. All right. So those seven steps again were: number one, identify the clutter. Number two, identify the pattern. Number three, identify the thoughts. Remember, those can be interchanged. Number four, resist excuses. Number five, pray. Number six, establish new patterns and thoughts. And number seven, repeat. I hope that you go through these steps soon so that your new year will be one of thriving with a clutter-free heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for showing us in your word that we don't have to carry all this clutter around with us. Help us to see that the clutter we as women have keeps us from experiencing you and living out the gospel. Show each woman listening today what her heart clutter is and help her as she goes through these steps. Help her to further step into the woman you're calling her to be so that she'll have a greater supernatural impact in the lives of those she loves and in the world for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Be sure to check out the featured resource of the Made Matchless Planner and Prayer Journal for Women that I talked about earlier, as well as the extra resources for podcast subscribers. Also, be sure to get yourself on my Made Matchless email list for upcoming events, new blog posts, free downloads, all that great stuff. And you can do that at madematchless.com/subscribe. Remember, you are made matchless.